Thank you for downloading the Elohim Christian Church podcast. Today's message is brought by Pastor Lynn Eveson.
Thanks, Steve. Yeah, what a great encouragement. God looks for the treasure that's within you. He placed it there and he can see it. And even if we don't know it yet, there's always more. Because God has made you to be successful. Not successful in the world's terms, although often the church doesn't like words like victory or success or prosperity, but here we believe in all of those things. God is a God of victory. He's called us to be successful and he's promised us prosperity. So it's all win-win. Oh, I thought that was good news too, Steve. There's only two of us so far. Let's see if it catches as we progress. Well, I guess if there's a title for the word, it would be a heart. Put your hand on your heart. This is your heart. Is it beating? A heart for reckless generosity. Oh, I love that kind of generosity. I love being recklessly generous. And I'm not talking about being foolishly and stupidly spending money that you haven't got. I'm talking about listening to God with your heart and allowing him to inform your decision making and allowing him to bring forth that treasure that's within you that blesses and multiplies and keeps on growing and giving. That's good news, isn't it? And God's great at maths. He does the kind of maths that I love. He's just absolutely incredible at maths. He knows exactly how many hairs I've got on my head. Some people he can't keep counting, they seem to be losing it. But anyway, he knows exactly how many hairs I've got on my head. He knows exactly how many tears I've ever cried. He knows exactly how much I need. And he has always been my provider. But the kind of sums that I love is that we add things up, but God multiplies them. He's a God of multiplication in every way. Pastor Jonathan brought an amazing word into our context. Haven't we had the most awesome time recently with all that Bill Johnson has brought to us, and a download from our Apostolic Centre, an encouraging download, an exhortation to get up, get on, break through, break out, and take a hold of everything that God has promised in our due season of harvest. Oh, say due season. It's an amazing season. It's so full of expectation. I've got an expectant heart because I know my God. He's not a God who disappoints. And so we have a due season. And this is the kind of multiplication that Pastor Jonathan brought from the book of Leviticus in chapter 26. Who thought there was anything so great and amazing in Leviticus? It took me years to find out that there was. And Jeremiah. I used to read Jeremiah and get really depressed. And then I found all the good stuff. So keep ploughing on, because in the Word of God, there's good stuff. And Pastor Jonathan spoke a greater level of freedom into the lives of the people in this church and the life of this church. Say freedom. Freedom. You see, you have to smile because there's two E's in freedom. He declared a greater level of freedom and that the siege was lifted. And then he too brought God's multiplication word. He said our enemies were going to fall by the sword. Well, the sword of God is the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Our enemies are going to fall by the sword. Five, and we have a row of five here on this side. Yeah, that's right. I've added it up right. Five will chase down 100 of our enemies. So every row here has got the capacity to chase down 100 of our enemies. But 100 of you will put 10,000 to flight. Now, that's the kind of multiplication I like the sound of. It's exponential. It gets bigger and it grows as it goes. And I believe that when our apostolic centre come and speak a word like that into a church that they love, Pastor Jonathan's been connected with his church for the whole 25 years of our life, and he's loved and served and supported this church for all of that time, even before it was his job to do so. And I believe that when somebody who loves the church and somebody who knows the church and it's someone who has the apostolic sending anointing brings a word, God is going to move. So I'm expectant and I am excited. But this maths of God, it's just incredible. It is too big for me to get a grip on and to understand. But one boy gave his 5 loaves and his fish to the disciples. His heart was recklessly generous. And the disciples added up 5 loaves and 2 fish. And when they added it up, it was not enough. But then in the hand of God, it became recklessly generous and it was multiplied to feed 5,000 men plus the women and the children. But not just feed them with enough. There was more than enough and there was plenty left over. God's reckless generosity met exhausted disciples who'd fished all night long and their catch added up to 0. Then they heard Jesus on the beach asking what their catch was. And the disappointed and disillusioned disciples said nothing. He simply said, cast your net on the other side. Well, one side of the boat to the other is not very far, is it? But they just had to shift something. Had to shift their expectation. And they cast their net on the other side and they had to tow the catch home behind the boat because it was too heavy to bring over the side. God added something to those zeros and the catch was an exciting and magnificent catch, the best they'd ever had. It's exciting stuff, this life of faith. Poke the person next to you and say, wake up, wake up, wake up, wake up, because God's about to move. Open your eyes, open your heart, open the eyes of your heart and look and see the treasure within you and the treasure within the person next to you and see what God is going to release in breakthrough. Oh, that's me, Brian and Hazel this time. So we've gone from 2 of us to 3 of us. That's brilliant. That's amazing. And God's a great provider and an amazing economist. Could I just have the first slide? And say, high tech I've gone. It must be revival. And we add, but God multiplies. So I'm good at adding. 100 plus 100 is 200. But when I came to multiply, I had to check the noughts a number of times because I knew that Tracy would immediately see if I was one short or one extra. But 100 multiplied by 100 becomes 10,000. We add, but God multiplies. X not only marks the spot, it also changes the landscape. Excuse my spelling mistake, Tracy, it was deliberate. X stands for exponential growth. The exponential growth that comes when we stop adding up and let God multiply. Thank you, Angus. And the Bible reading today, you're going to be thrilled to know, is part of the longest section on generosity in the New Testament. 2 whole chapters. Going to need to stay awake, aren't you? You'll be very relieved to know I'm only going to use 5 verses. But there are 2 chapters. And it would be really good for all of us to invest some time in reading those 2 chapters. It's going to stop your addition mentality and move you into God's multiplication, increasing mentality of provision and reckless generosity. We're going to let God loose to multiply today. Is that okay? You ready to be encouraged? So we're looking today at 2 Corinthians in chapter 8. I'm sorry I've not got all the scriptures, but you'll have to either listen or listen and look at your Bible. Could we just take that one down, Angus, please? Thank you. So a little bit of background to the reading today. The letter to the Corinthians was written to the church in Corinth by the Apostle Paul, and he was bringing them some instruction, some exhortation, some encouragement, and he had a great heart to help the Christians in Jerusalem who were living in persecution and poverty. So everywhere that Paul went, he exhorted the people to give an offering to send to help the Christians there in Jerusalem. And this church too has got a heart to still continue to help those precious people of God in Israel and in Jerusalem who are still living under persecution and in poverty. And so Paul was writing to the Corinthian church this exhortation. And earlier he'd appealed to the churches in Macedonia to give aid to the Christians in Jerusalem. Now, Macedonia is in northern Greece, and it's a fairly poor area. They weren't rich themselves, but they had responded to his request. We're going to read it in a minute. I love it. With reckless generosity. I was wrecked by reading this, actually, because it really pierced my heart. But they responded to Paul's request for aid with outrageous, reckless generosity. And now he's writing to the Corinthians in southern Greece. In Corinth, a fairly wealthy area, in stark contrast to Macedonia, where they were not so wealthy. He was writing to ask the Corinthians to do the same thing, since they had already promised to help, but had not yet delivered on that promise. And Paul uses the example of the generosity of the Macedonian Christians to encourage the Corinthians to follow their amazing example. So I reckon if it's in the Bible today, it's also to encourage Christians today to continue to follow the example that has already been laid out for us. And this letter, it would somehow be if it was written today, maybe Paul might be writing to the church in Mayfair in central London saying, this is how the people in Leicestershire have given with such a heart of reckless generosity. I don't think we're quite as well off as the people in Mayfair. I might be being a bit subjective, but generally speaking, even if you just took the price of your house, it would not compare with the wealth that there is in Mayfair. So that's the kind of context that Paul is writing to the church in Corinth. So we're going to pick that up now in the second letter to the Corinthians, chapter 8 and verse 1 to 5. And now, brothers, we want you to know about grace. Oh, that's amazing. Everything starts with grace, doesn't it? So freeing to know that everything starts with grace. And now, brothers, we want you to know about the grace that God has given the Macedonian churches. Out of the most severe trial, their overflowing joy and their extreme poverty welled up in rich generosity. For I testify that they gave as much as they were able, and even beyond their ability, entirely on their own. They urgently pleaded with us for the privilege of sharing in this service to the saints. And they did not do as we expected, but they gave themselves first to the Lord and then to us in keeping with God's will. You know, when we're in the midst of God's will and we're willing, everything's possible. Absolutely everything is possible. And everything that we believe about Christian giving must begin with the truth of knowing that it is an action of grace. So freeing. No compulsion. No pressure. Just grace. I feel really privileged to bring this word today. I just get such a sense of freedom and liberty to do so. Because we're not addressing any urgent financial needs. We're not addressing anything that, we need to preach up the offering. There's such a liberty and freedom to bring this word straight to the heart of the church that Pastor Jonathan just started to release. He spoke very briefly about our time, our talents, and our treasure. And that's Pastor Jonathan's anointing. He'll just drop something and then it explodes into something that just takes on a life of its own. And so for me, it's a great privilege to move into that and to continue that breakthrough that God is calling us to. So let's look at grace. We're going to stay in 2 Corinthians 8, just verse 1 to 5. And now, brothers, we want you to know about the grace that God has given to the Macedonian church. He's talking about the grace that God gives. Because God's a great giver. He's talking about the fact that God had been gracious to them. And they not only knew that he'd given grace, but they received it. And just think on that. Somebody can give you something, but will you receive it? They were not only given grace, but they received it. And that grace motivated them to give. They knew that God had been gracious to them and they gave back in grace and generosity. Further on, it says first to the Lord. And Jesus himself said, freely you've received, freely give. There's just such a freedom about giving. I actually like to give. It's no chore for me. It's an enjoyment. I love it. I love buying birthday presents. I love thinking of things to give to my family or my friends or even my neighbours. I just so enjoy it. And so really, it's a bit of a kind of, I give because I like it. So I'm blessed because I like to give. Freely, freely. And that's the foundation for Christian living and giving. Freedom and grace. Just have the second slide, Angus. Thank you. And we love because God first loved us, but we have to receive that love. We love because God first loved us, but we have to receive that love because we have to receive the grace. And John 3:16 just reveals God's attitude towards giving. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son. Gosh, that's a gift. That is a gift. That is a gift that outgives everything and anything in eternity. And God gave his son through love, generosity, and for a purpose, so that whoever believes in him would not perish, but would have eternal life. We receive that as a gift. It's available today and every day to anyone, whosoever, anyone, who will believe that Jesus Christ is their Lord and their Saviour was sent by God into the world out of his love and for our grace, for our forgiveness. And God so loved the world that he gave his most precious, not the my precious of my, but his precious release, his precious grace, his precious love, his reckless, heartfelt generosity for a hurting world. And as we note the sequence, he set the example of generosity, motivated by love and for a purpose. God always makes the first move. God's making a move on you today to release you, to grace you, and to bring you into a place of liberty and freedom. God always makes the first move. He shows us the how and the why so that we can follow too. We are the receivers always. You can't outgive God, it said, and that's true. We are the receivers always, and even if we give, it's because, like the Macedonian churches, we first received the grace and we recognize the love. And we are receivers from the kingdom bank. See, there's one of those on earth as well, but the kingdom bank in heaven has every spiritual blessing. And we are the recipients, the receivers, if we will receive it. As we receive it, it is for a purpose. There's a whole flow. There's a whole flow from the kingdom bank. If you've met Jesus and through faith in him, you've received forgiveness and sin, of sin and new life in him, there's a reason to give joyfully, thankfully, outrageously and worshipfully. We bring our offerings forward in the worship because it's part of worship. Giving is an act of worship. It's not something separate. It's not the bit in the middle where we take the offering. We don't actually take the offering. We receive it. You give it back to God. We never take an offering in this church. We receive it. By grace, in faith, it always meets our need. Every time. So giving is part of our act of worship. And we give in response to all that Christ has done for us. Because we're graced to give. Say graced to give. It's good, isn't it? How amazing is grace? We love grace. Could I just have the third slide, Angus, please? Oh, honey, on verse one. I better get a move on. Verse 2, out of the most severe trial, their overflowing joy and their extreme poverty welled up in rich generosity. Just doesn't compute for me. It's one of those, another maths equation that I'm like, God, this just does not compute in my brain. Trials plus joy plus poverty equals generosity. Wow. Can you make that add up? Good job, God multiplies, isn't it? But not just trials, but severe trials. Not just joy, but overflowing joy. Not just poverty, but extreme poverty resulted in rich generosity. They were rich. They were graced with rich generosity. I can't make that equation add up, so I have to leave it for God's multiplication. I want to abound in rich generosity. This made me hungry to know what rich generosity really was. What reckless, outrageous generosity really is. Oh, God will test me. I know that. Thank you, Jesus. Awesome. The Macedonians were poor. They were not giving out of their surplus. They were giving with grace out of extreme poverty. Oh,
contagious joy. And when they take an offering, they might have a shirt buttoned. They come in outrageously joyful, thankful, just abandoned with the grace of God and the liberty and freedom, and they give. I was in a church in Manchester one time. And the hotel was not very far away. Macedonian church has a heart that is set on following Jesus. They have God-sized generosity. From a heart that is connected to Jesus, overflowing God. Don't you want to every outrageous joy. The Bible says they are the treasure. They're the desires of the heart. Even our heart sets us free. The heart so full of joy, so full of joy, that gives us. Free from the heart, free from the love of God. God sets us free. Love of men, corrupting, corrupts power, corrupts countries. Even from a heart set free from the love of men, even from a heart so full of joy, that breathless generosity will bring us in. Then, one question. Verse 3. Right, testify. Right, testify that they gave as much as they were able. Now this. I testify that they and even beyond their ability, entirely on their. They gave as much as they were able, then some. They got to their limit. They got to their limit of their ability. And they blew that limitation. They blew that limitation out of the. Blew it away. They gave what they were able and then some. Give them the grace to give generously. Trusting in their faith in God.
Thank you, Angus.
How many of us have given having to trust in God to provide everything?
I know that many in this church have already done that. But when we get to that place of giving and trusting, we can so depend on that he comes through for us. It drives you to a place of total dependency on Jesus. Your money doesn't have a hold on you because God's got your heart. And again, we were at a faith camp and there was an appeal for different things. One of them was for, it was a famine in Burkina Faso. And another was for a new building and for help. And so we were asked to pray about how much we should give. So we did. And Brian said, I think God's saying this. And I went, really? Okay. You're the head of the house. You made that decision. Whew, that's freedom. And so we did. And it was a tough time because it's always a tough time. God will always come to you and get you through a tough time. It was a tough time for us. And within 3 days of coming home, we had a tax refund. It's the only tax refund that we have ever, ever had. And so far. And to the pound, it was exactly what we had given. I mean, to the pound. It was exactly what we had given. That's how God comes through. When you give, we'd already given at the offerings in Faith Camp, and we'd already given to the missions offering, and this was another offering. So we had given already to the limit of our ability to give. But then, we were released with a grace to trust God, and he always comes through. Supernatural grace for generous giving. Verse 4. It gets better. I love this. After having given to the limit of their ability and then some, they urgently pleaded with us for the privilege of sharing in this service for the saints. And I've been a pastor for a while. And I've taken some amazing miracle offerings in this church and in other places. And I've seen God provide miraculously over and above and beyond our expectations. But nobody's ever come to me and begged me to take another offering yet. Nobody has ever come to me and begged me to take another offering. But this church knew the grace of giving. They urgently pleaded. They, having given to the fullness of their ability and then some, they pleaded to be able to give more to serve the saints. That is God at work in their hearts, isn't it? That is God at work in their hearts. Wow. But when our hearts are free, when we're freed from the love of money and freed to be recklessly generous, then we see God work. We no longer feel the need to hold on so tightly to what we have in case we run out, because we know that the grace of God abounds with liberality. We no longer have to be fearful about meeting the bills, because faith shows us how to let go and sow. Do you realize today you're living on the harvest that you sowed either yesterday or in previous years? Today you're reaping what you have sown, not only in money, because do you know what? It's not all about money. In fact, this has nothing to do with money. This has to do with the heart after God. This has to do with moving in liberty and freedom of the grace of God. This has to do with moving in the power of the love of God. This has to do with moving in the power of your love for God and Him releasing to you even more, because He knows He can trust you. Wow. It's an awesome, awesome level of freedom and liberty. It gets better. If we give grudgingly, the problem is very likely not the lack of money. If we give grudgingly of either our time, our talents, our treasure, our resources, it's much more likely we're holding on to our cash, our time, our treasure, and our resources for ourselves. Did you notice the hour? They're not ours. They're His. Every time we try to protect, every time I've ever tried to protect my time, it's been a waste of time. And I might just as well have saved myself the agony in the beginning and just done it. Every time I've tried to hold on to stuff, it gets harder and harder. But every time I've been willing to loose it, release it, and say, God, I don't know what to do with it, the answers come overflowing from an open heaven. Whoa, that's liberty and that's freedom. Because conversely, when we seem to never have enough, the paradox is that we give and God multiplies. We try to keep adding to our own account and it just gets taken away. Eaten up, swallowed up, used up. But when we let it go, the great paradox is that God will multiply it. And it will flow. He'll multiply and loose and release. I'm not pretending that, you know, I've got everything, I've got it all made. We don't have everything, but we've never been short of God meeting our needs. I'm not saying it's not a struggle, because the flesh will always struggle against the spirit. Your mind will always struggle against the power of the kingdom of God, because God's economy just doesn't equate with what we think. It just doesn't. He's always surprising me. But I'm more than willing to let God have a go at multiplying, because every time I try to add it up, it does not equate. It doesn't compute and it doesn't work. And this will be a really familiar scripture to you. It's from the last book of the Old Testament, the prophet Malachi. Hears from God, and he writes this. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house, and test me in this, says the Lord Almighty. Have you ever, ever moved into the testing God realm? Oh, it's scary. Man, it's risky. It seems reckless. But it is always rewarding. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that you will not have enough room for it. Wow, that doesn't seem like much of a test to me. That seems like a win-win, promise, promise, release, release, freedom situation. And it looks to me like God multiplying the storehouse of heaven. Man, what's in there? If you think about that, just let your imagination run riot. Because who knows what's in the storehouse in heaven? It's not just money. In fact, it is not about money. It is not about money. Although you are blessed financially in the going, in the doing, in the giving, in the loving. But it is not just about money. Who wants to see the church grow? Oh, I don't have enough hands up. That is poverty thinking. Who wants to see the church grow? I'm not just talking about this church. Who wants to see the kingdom extended? Yeah. Who wants to see people saved and set free? Who wants to see people released from addictions? Who wants to see people living in the overflow of an open heaven? Well, it begins with what we do, with what we've got, and when we go that bit further. Because God starts to loose and release. And I want to see that loosing from an open heaven. I want to see that containment just smashed. I want to see the power of the living God at work. Why not in Barlston? Why not in Bristol? Why not? Why not in Peterborough? Why not? Why not? Because God's waiting to multiply what we give to him. Are you getting ready to live under that open heaven? Because this is what he's promising. Our God is the God of increase. He blesses, he multiplies, he's the giver. He is not the withholder. The Bible says he will withhold no good thing from you. God is not the withholder. And when we withhold from God, we rob ourselves. I just wish we could get that. When we withhold our time from God, we rob ourselves of the joy of being involved in what he's got for us to do. When we withhold our talents from God, we rob ourselves of the joy of seeing what God can do through this cracked earthen vessel. I'm talking about myself. You have to admit it for yourself. I'm just jars of clay. It's the treasure within. So why would we withhold our time? Why would we withhold our talents? Why would we withhold our treasure when God is waiting to multiply the whole jolly lot? I don't know. It's a question that doesn't compute in my mind. I have to ask it for myself. Why would we withhold when God is not a withholder? I don't know what's in heaven's storehouse, but I do know that it's going to overflow with life in all its fullness. Not just enough to survive for the day, but to thrive for eternity. It's that kind of storehouse. It's not the leftovers that God's chucked in a storehouse. It's the riches of his grace. It's the fullness of his life. Oh, I've got a note here. Check the time. Yes, I've checked the time. You see how organized I'm getting? Thank you, Jesus. In Proverbs 11, verse 24 and 25, it says this. There is one who scatters and yet increases all the more. This is the one with a recklessly generous heart. There's one who scatters and yet increases all the more. And there's one who withholds what is justly due, and yet it results only in want. Make a note of it. Proverbs 11:24 and then 25. This is the promise. The generous man will be prosperous, and he who waters will himself be watered. Keep pouring it out, because God is going to make sure that as you do, the storehouse of heaven is open. Open that storehouse door over Steve. Open that storehouse door over Faye. They sow. Man, they sow and they water. Open that storehouse door over Elohim Church. They know what it is to live recklessly, generously with our heart after Jesus. I just have the last slide. No, you're all going to have a sigh of relief. You just heard the last slide, but I didn't say it was the last word. Have the last slide, Angus, please. This is the last scripture. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 6 to 11. He who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. Oh, but this is the good news. He who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Your harvest is in your own hands. God is able. Oh, say God is able. Glory. God is able to make all grace abound to you. It starts with grace. Don't start with the money. It'll tie you up in knots and you'll be all twisted and begrudging and miserable and say horrible things like the church is only after your money. The church doesn't need your money. God doesn't need your money. He's after your heart. Oh, he's after your heart. God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that always, having all sufficiency in everything. He hasn't left anything out there, has he? Can you see something that God left out of that scripture? He's able to make all grace abound to you, so that always, having all sufficiency in everything, you may have an abundance. Wow, that sounds like the kind of promise that enriches my heart, blesses my thinking, and changes my perspective. You may have an abundance for every good deed. Now, he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and... Yay! He will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. When your heart's right with God, righteousness comes forth. And I love this. You will be enriched in everything for all liberality. Oh, liberating freedom with time, talents, and treasure. Oh, thank you, my God. Thank you, my God. But giving is always a heart issue, every single time. Whether somebody's asking you for your time, whether somebody's asking you to serve, use your talents, whether somebody is asking you to give and to help, it's always a heart issue. The Bible says from the heart flows the issue of life. Check your heart. Is it still beating? I nearly said check your neighbour's heart. That would have been tricky, wouldn't it? Check your own heart. We never need to check our neighbour's heart. Check your own heart. Is it still beating? Oh dear. Can somebody practice some resurrection techniques in the house? Check your own heart. Is it still beating? Yeah. I guess it must be, Mike, else they wouldn't be able to sit up straight, would they? Well, your physical heart's beating. How's your spiritual heart doing? Is it going a bit faster? Oh, God wants it to beat for him. Oh, my goodness. God wants it to beat for him. The Macedonian church exceeded every expectation. Can you imagine that? Out of their trials, they were joyful. Out of their poverty, they were generous. The Macedonian church exceeded every expectation. They blew limitations away. They refused a poverty mindset and they allowed grace to be in operation. What a church! What a church! What an amazing place to be. Can you imagine? living in that kind of environment and spiritual atmosphere. Oh my goodness. Grace sets us gloriously free. But again, the heart is at the heart of the matter, for they gave themselves first to the Lord. We can only give freely when we understand how freely God gives, how freely God gives to us, gives of himself to us. And as we give ourselves fully to him, we're going to enter into the joyous liberty of being a son of the living God. I'm happily standing here saying I'm a son. I'm a son of the living God. I'm an inheritor of his kingdom. I have been touched by his grace. I've received the power of his Holy Spirit into my heart, into my life. I am blessed beyond measure. There was rejoicing in heaven when I came to recognize and realize who I am, but more importantly, whose I am. Give ourselves first to the Lord. Enter fully into the joyous liberty of being the son of the living God, freed from sin and freed from selfishness and freed from the grip and the grasp of money. We're going to find ourselves living under an open heaven, blessings flowing freely and loosed from the containment and loosed to be all that God intended for us to be. Will you let go today? Will you let go today and let God in? It's a heart issue. It's not a finance issue. It's a heart issue. Not only that, God issues an invitation to enter into the joy of the Lord, to enter into that place of joy and rejoicing. We hold on to so many things. We hold on to our position. We hold on to our possessions. We hold on to our wants. We hold on to our needs. And we make demands of ourselves in doing that. If we let go of our position, if we let go of our wants, if we let go of our needs, if we let go of our finances, if we let go of our time, if we let go of our talents, if we let go and let God, it's all going to come flowing back with a fresh grace and power and freedom and liberty. Will you let God in today? Are you willing to be freed from every limitation? Oh, what an invitation. Are you willing to be freed from every limitation that has held you back and hampered your harvest? Because God will restore the years that the locust has eaten. Your harvest that has been devoured, God has promised even that will be restored to you. He's just not a withholder. God does not withhold. He gives. And he gives and he gives and he gives and he gives and he gives. We get to the end of our giving, don't we? But do you know what? Through all eternity, God never has, never does, and never will get to the end of giving grace. It's all about grace, the right kind of grace. God wants to set you free today in each one of those areas. And if you know Jesus, there are always deeper levels and greater freedoms to access. If you're here today and you realise that you don't know Jesus, today's the day. Are you ready to let go? It's a question from the heart of God to your heart. And Pastor Faye played a song for me in the week from Iona. It's a beautiful song. It's a song that you maybe won't have heard before. I certainly hadn't. And the chorus, why it captured my heart was the chorus was, where your treasure is. Where is your treasure? So Angus very kindly has worked really hard and downloaded this at the last minute because we both thought we'd, each of us had asked him. Could I just ask that we shut the blinds at the back and turn the lights off so we can read the words? I just want you to let the words minister to you. And settle in your own heart if you're ready to let go and let God. Let God be your healer. Let God be your decision maker. Let God teach you how to operate in grace and without legalism. Let God teach you how to be free from the anxieties that come when we hold on to the things that he actually wants us to let go of, not to harm us, but to help us. Are you ready?